Good morning and welcome to Bible Believers Broadcast. My name's Tommy Heffner, and we'd like to invite you to come by and visit our church. The name of it's Bible Baptist Church. And we're between McCannville and North Belmont at 908 and 1/2 Hickory Grove Road. So we'd like for you to come by and visit sometime. Our services start on Sunday morning at 10:30 to 11:30. And if you'd like more information, my telephone number is area code 704-263-1611. We're starting having services at night this week. This will be at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. So we got a Sunday morning service, 10:30 to 11:30, and then Sunday night at 6 o'clock. So if you can, come on out and visit us. We just got a little three-room house out there. And I got a couple pews and a little Bible stand. And I'd like to come on by and worship the Lord with us. All right. I'm going to start this morning. I'm going to try to preach a small message on the miracle of the new birth. And I'm going to read three scriptures here and then we'll pray. The Bible says in John 3:16, everybody's familiar with this verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Notice, God gave his only begotten Son. In Isaiah 7:14 it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In Matthew 1:23 the Bible says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you bless your message this morning, Lord. I ask you, Father, to help me, Lord, to say what you have me to say, to speak as you'd speak, and bless your word. And I pray that your word wouldn't turn void, but it would establish that which you please. I pray, Father, that you'd have the folks that you won't hear this message tune in this morning and give them something from thee, Lord, from your word. And I thank you for what you're going to do. And that's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, first of all, I want to tell you what to do with the verses I just give you. I want to tell you what the other versions do with it. First of all, most of them take out begotten. In John 3:16, the Bible says, that, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." They attacked his virgin birth and just leave out begotten and he's a son. Well, that's a lie, see. I mean, there's many sons. There's sons of God. In the Old Testament, in Job, we got sons of God. We're sons of God once a person gets saved. As many receive him, then gave him power to become the sons of God. But there's one only begotten son. See? Begotten son. They take that word begotten out. Who done that? You say the translators in these new versions. It's clear. It's not clear. It's the devil guided those translators of the new versions. You better get you a King James Bible and you better start reading it and believing it and throw these others out the door. In Isaiah 7:14 it says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." They changed that word, virgin. Now, why would they do that? You said older manuscripts. There ain't no older manuscripts than what the King James is based on. That's a lie. The virgin said, "The virgin shall conceive." They always, the other one says, "A young woman." Well, a young woman don't have to be a virgin. Listen, if Mary wasn't a virgin, you still in your sins, whether you profess to be saved or not. She was a virgin. And, alright, in 1 Timothy 3:16 is another place where they attack the deity of Jesus Christ by changing one word. The devil does that, see? In 1 Timothy 3:16 it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. It says God was manifest in the flesh. You know what they all do? All the other versions, if you got any, look them up. Don't take my word for it. It says he who, or something, some other word there. But they take God out. He's God manifest. If he wasn't God manifest in the flesh, your salvation's no good. That's a dirty, dirty, rotten, filthy trick of the devil. And he uses men to do things like that. All right. Now, first thing I want to talk about is, why did God come to the earth in the flesh? Well, in the beginning, you got Mr. and Ms. Adam in the Garden of Eden. They had a perfect place to live. Adam didn't have to work for food. He had perfect weather. Adam had a perfect wife. He thought she was the only woman in the world, which she was. All the animals were tame. All Adam had to do was just to name them. He had fellowship with God every evening. Then guess who showed up? The serpent showed up. The devil. He said, hi, woman. She didn't have a name yet, see. She was just Mrs. Adam. He said, hi, woman. Said, did God really say that you can't eat of all the trees in the garden? She said, yeah. We can eat all the trees, but that vine tree, we can't eat that, or even touch it, or we'll die. When she said that, the serpent knew that he had her. See, she added to and took away from God's word. The serpent said, ye shall not surely die. God just wanted you to know just as much as he did. Here, try this, sir. Well, she did. She gave something to Adam, and that did it. Something happened to her blood, and we inherited the same blood. Adam and Eve died, and we all die. Turn to Genesis chapter 2 there, and let's look at it. This is what Adam said, and what the Lord told Adam in 2:16. Now listen, you look it up. Genesis 2:16. Look it up. Write it down. Go back and look at it later. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. All right, let's go on down to verse. Now, that's what God told Adam. Now, let's go on down and see what's going on here and what the Bible says went on here. Genesis chapter 3. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Every time the devil comes to anybody, at the end of the Bible is with a question. He questions God's word right there. Question what God said. He said, yea, hath God said? He's positive too. He said, yes. Hath God said, you shall not eat of the tree of every tree of the garden? And a woman. Now, he wasn't no serpent. He was a 33-year-old man standing there looking at her, see? And she was talking to him. All right, now look at verse 2. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, look here, what he done. First thing she done, she left out freely. It said, we may eat of it, left out freely. Over here he said, thou mayest freely eat. But she said, we may eat of the fruit of the... So she took out a word right there, just like these other translations do. All right, look at verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, what did he say? He said, verse 17, 2:17 says, but the fruit tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That she then took out another word. And not only that, she added a word. She said, neither shall you touch it. God didn't say you couldn't touch it. He just said, didn't eat it. See? Omitted the word surely and freely and added, neither shall you touch it. That was the problem right there. That's what happened. That's the reason our blood's no good. That's the reason you die, and you will die one day. The Bible says the point of the man wants to die, but after this the judgment. You will die. And you will stand before a holy God. And you will give an account for everything you've ever done. You say, how can I get out of that? One way. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to take care of our blood. His blood was holy. You've got to have His blood applied to your heart. The Old Testament systems of sacrifices wasn't sufficient. And they offered up those lambs and all that, rams and bulls and goats and things, but it wouldn't take away sins. It couldn't cleanse. He forgave sins right then, but it never did take them away. Why? It just showed that they had to have somebody to come that didn't have the same blood system that Adam had. After he sinned. Who was that? That was Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:11-12. Listen. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Those sacrifices couldn't take them away. But this man, who's he talking about? Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:11-12. Look it up. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Did you get that? One sacrifice for sins forever. That means you don't make a mass as a sacrifice. That means you don't go to church every Sunday or every day or whenever y'all go over to the Catholic Church. And go through that mass and make out a sacrifice and an unbloody sacrifice and take Jesus Christ and eat Him and say that's His body, literal body and blood. You don't do that. He offered one sacrifice forever. Look at it again. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place. Having it obtained eternal redemption for us. It's an eternal redemption, folks. And He entered once in the holy place. You don't do it every Sunday. One time. That's what He did. One time. All right, next thing. Why did we have to have a virgin birth? Well, if Jesus had been born of earthly parents, just like Luke 2:33, the King James Bible says Joseph and his mother, and all the other ones, just about every one of them, takes out Joseph, put his father and mother. Joseph wasn't his father. God was his father. Luke 2:33, look it up in your perversion and see if it don't say that. So if he had been born of earthly parents, he would have inherited the sin nature from Adam. See, if he did that, he couldn't have paid for our sins. He'd had to die for his own sins. In the Old Testament, the animals was sacrificed as a symbolic of the death that Jesus would die. For the same reason, the animal had to be the firstborn. Jesus was Mary's firstborn. See, he had other brothers and sisters. Read the book of Mark, or you'll see them. They listed in there. It had to be without blemish or spot. Couldn't be lame or crippled. Jesus was pure physically. He had no sin, according to Hebrews 4:15. See, everything in the Bible had a purpose. And the Old Testament sacrifices were symbols of the Savior to come. Now, if Jesus was the son of Joseph, then he couldn't have been the only begotten son of God. So John 3:16 wouldn't apply to him. And it said the virgin birth was a sign, a miracle. It's nothing for a woman to get pregnant. It happens all the time. But for a virgin to get pregnant, that's another story. And this is so that you'd see that Jesus is who he said he is, and that you might believe on him for salvation. Remember our verses at the beginning? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. In Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which has been interpreted God with us. Now, all right. Jesus had to be born. He had to come down here, and he couldn't have sinned his whole life. If he committed one sin, something would have happened to his blood, and he'd have had to die for his own sin. But he didn't do it. See, he didn't do it. All right. Jesus said he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. The Old Testament specifically said that he'd be born of a virgin in Bethlehem of the tribe of Judah of the lineage of David. Now, two places in the New Testament we see the Jesus lineage. That's Matthew 1 and Luke 3. Matthew addresses the Jews and traces the lineage to Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel. And this shows Jesus as heir to the throne of David. And then Jesus is king of the Jews. That shows that Jesus is king of the Jews. Going to be the king of the kingdom of heaven. And Luke addresses the Gentiles, tracing Jesus' lineage to Adam, father of all mankind, showing Jesus as heir to the throne of the kingdom of God. That's where we get in, kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Kingdom of heaven is a literal, physical, visible kingdom. Now, neither portrayal was wrong, see. One day Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David in the 1,000-year reign as king of the Jews, and he'll be crowned king of kings and lord of lords. Now, King David had many sons, see. Two of them were Nathan and Solomon. Joseph was kin through Solomon, and Mary was kin through Nathan. Luke 3:31, Matthew 1:6. So if you look down through there, Jesus couldn't have been the Messiah or sat on the throne if he had not been born of a virgin, because Jechonias in the Old Testament there, the whole family was cursed after him because of his wickedness. So that's the reason he had to come. Jesus had to be virgin born and had to come through Mary, and Joseph was not his father. All right, next thing about this, why do we need a redeemer? Well, Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That means you inherited sin. That means you sinned. Whenever you're born, you start sinning. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 5:19 says, for by one man's disobedience, talking about Adam, many were made sinners. That's you and I. So by the obedience of one, talking about Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. So we can be righteous by trusting the only one that didn't sin, see? That's the only way you can get your sins forgiven. Isaiah 53 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's where your sins are. If you're saved today, this morning, your sins are on the Lord. What He did 2,000 years ago, nearly, that's where your sins are. His blood covered your sins. That's the reason you're saved. That's the reason you don't sin. When God looks down on me and you, if you're saved, He don't see my sin. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now here's a little story here I'd like to give you here for Christmas, since this is Christmas, coming up Christmas next week. I'm going to read this to you. When I was a child, about 12 years old, we had a Christmas that I never forgotten. We grew up in humble means, to say the least, but we generally always had one or two gifts under the tree, even if they were only socks or underwear. During this particular Christmas, by good fortune, we had many gifts. For the first time in a long time, we received a lot of things that we actually wanted. I was one of seven children, so this was a very big deal. We were all excited and could hardly wait till Christmas morning. However, on that Christmas Eve, after careful reflection and much heated discussion, my father decided it was much too much. And in this frenzy, we'd lost the true meaning of Christmas. So we were instructed to hand over all but one of the unopened gifts. And of course, the rest of the kids, there's crying and there's some anger and shock and disbelief and so forth. But this is what happened. My father loaded all the gifts on his truck and we all piled in. We went from house to house in our community and handed out our things. Some of the families we knew and some we didn't. All of them was as poor as we were. Some had no gifts except ours. As the truck rounded the corner, slowly, very slowly, the anger left. And the shock and disbelief vanished and was replaced by a different sort of emotion. We all started to feel an overwhelming sense of joy in this service. The mark that this experience left on our lives has changed the way we look at Christmas forever. Never before had I grasped what Christmas was truly about. It's about unselfish giving. Not of toys or gifts, but giving of ourselves. It was of Christ who gave the ultimate gift of eternal life. And that experience taught us that at the celebration of His birth, our giving should reflect His ultimate sacrifice. He gave the whole of His life in our service for our sake, showing us His love. Hence, the best gift we can give to others at Christmas is our time, sharing our talents and genuine love as acts of kindness, and that Jesus was born as a babe in a manger, was God manifest in the flesh, suffered on the cross for our sins, and rose again the third day to live forever. So if we receive Him, we'll live forever too. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You bless the message, Lord. I pray, Father, now that You'd help us, Lord, to think about what this Christmas really is about, Lord. It's about Thee and what You did for us. I know that Jesus didn't die. wasn't born here on the Christmas Eve or nothing like that. It was in the fall. But I pray now that you'd people around just looking and thinking about Thee this time of the year. And I pray that You'd use this as time for they can see themselves as sinners and see what You did for them and how You suffered and died for their sins. And I pray they'd be saved before it's too late. And I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.